I want to preach to you this morning from verse 20 of Matthew chapter 28. Friends, the Apostle Peter writes in his second letter that there have been given to you exceeding great and precious promises. He says, to you who are Christians have been given great and precious promises. Wonderful, isn't it? The Bible is a book of promises. And these are exceeding great, exceeding precious promises. And the reason for that is because they are God's promises. It's not man's promise. It's the promise of Jesus Christ, who never lies, who is not weak not to be able to fulfill the promises that he gives. He's totally different to us. And so when you use the name of Jesus Christ, make sure you use it reverently, honoring the Lord Jesus, because his word is true. Recently, when I woke up in night, which is a usual case with me, I usually read a little bit of books that focus your mind on the promises of God. And recently, I've been reading through at night this wonderful book of John Bunyan, which is called The Jerusalem Sinner Saved. It's an amazing book. It is filled with God's promises to a poor sinner like me. And it constrains me to this morning and also in future services where for the next couple of weeks at least, to think upon some of these promises and challenges that the Lord gives us. And this verse has been on my mind, and especially the latter part of this verse, this Gospel of Matthew chapter 28 and verse 20, the latter part where we read, the Lord Jesus Christ says, "Lo, I am with you all day, even unto the end of the world. Amen." That is what we want to think about this morning. It applied to the apostles, and they, as they were to teach all things whatsoever the Lord Jesus Christ commanded to them, to the converts, to the new disciples. And if that's true of the commands, it must also be true of his promises, mustn't it? All the promises made to the apostles are made to the new converts and followers. And the miracle of miracles, dear friends, 21 centuries and even more, people who are hearing the same message of salvation, that sins can be forgiven through Jesus Christ, even today, all over the world, miracle of miracles, over 21 centuries. Sinners from all kinds of backgrounds, as we are here, quite a mixed bunch, aren't we? Sinners hear the same message, and powerfully, they're converted, transformed, their hearts are changed. Still, people are hearing this same message and coming to Christ. And the promises are there in the scriptures, and here is one for us. Lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. And then Matthew adds, if your Bible doesn't have it, put it in, because it's in the text, in the Greek. Amen, he puts it. Amen. So let's look at each word. I have 6 points here this morning, but they're short points. And I want to just go through the words here. I know some of you are fearful, but do not fear. So we want to just go through each word. So my first point is the first word. And really, if you want to give it a title, you can say Christ forever. Jesus Christ is forever with us. And so the first point is lo. Lo. That's a wonderful word, lo. And remember, dear friends, that when the Bible uses this word, when you find this word low in the Bible, it is saying to us this: you must give your total attention. Low. Look to this. Keep your eyes open. Recognize this to be so important. That's what he's saying here. That's what the word is translated here. The Lord is saying, give me your full attention, complete attention. So the Lord is saying to you, lo, everything I have to say to you is important, obviously, but listen to this in particular, in a special way. Take this to heart in a particular way. Underline it. Put it in bold letters. Impress it on your mind. Meditate upon what I am going to say to you. Get hold of it. Grasp it. Never leave it. Treasure it. This is a special low. And if you do that, you're coming to the end of the year. You're coming to the beginning of a new year. Every day. You meditate upon these words. What a blessing it will be to you. Lo, he says. Whenever we hear the name of Jesus Christ, we should always think 1, 2, 2, 3. I want to explain to you what do I mean by that. 1, 2, 2, 3. When you hear the name of Jesus Christ, you say, the pastor said 1, then 2, and then 3. Let me explain it. When you hear the name of Jesus or say the name of Jesus Christ, you think there is one Lord. He is one Lord. Because there is only one Lord and one God. But Christ has two natures. From all eternity, He is God. But then He's conceived by the Holy Spirit in the womb of the Virgin Mary. And then He becomes... takes on humanity, something that he had never had before. He's always what he's always been. He becomes what he has never been before. But there's only one Christ. An old theologian, Benjamin Warfield, he said, two centers of consciousness, only one center of self-consciousness. It's a mystery. It's a second greatest mystery in the whole universe. Do you know what is the first mystery in this whole universe? The doctrine of the Holy Trinity. It's an amazing, amazing doctrine. Who can understand it? My lecturer at seminary said that we must believe the doctrine of the Trinity to be saved. That God is in three persons. But to understand it, you cannot. He said, you will lose your soul if you don't believe it. But you will use your mind if you try to understand it. And that is very true. But that is a great mystery. But the second great truth is this. God manifest in the flesh. The two natures of the Lord Jesus Christ. So, one Lord. Two natures. But also we could say, two estates. Two estates. Jesus Christ has two estates. He was born of the Virgin Mary. He lives in poverty. He does his wonderful miracles. He tells those extraordinary parables and stories. But he's humiliated. He is humiliated by the cross. He's even furthermore humiliated by experiencing the anger of God poured upon him on the cross as he dies for our sins. And furthermore, he is humiliated in the dying and being under the power of death for 3 days and to be buried. That is the humiliation of the Lord Jesus Christ, to be born even into this world of sin. God, who is perfect, to come and walk amongst us. How awful it is. I don't know if you have ever been to a pig farm. It's not a very wonderful experience. You get used to it if you carry on living there, but to go, the stench of the pigs and all the horrible things, you want to pass through quickly. But my friends, the Lord Jesus Christ came into this world. Imagine this, if he comes and sees your life. And he sees you perfectly. He sees everything in your life. What does he think of you? What does he think of me? If he sees my own heart, and he does, if he would be like me, he would say, I don't want to have anything to do with him. Look at his past. Look at his thoughts. Look at his words. Look at the thing he has done. Look at the things he never did, when he should have done. The things he should have said, he never said. He was never grateful for the things that people did for him, and so on. What a stench in my life, he would see. But he came. This is the state of his humiliation. But then when he was buried on the third day, the scripture says, he rose from the dead. And then he ascended up to heaven. That is his exaltation. So there is, those are the two states of Jesus Christ, his humiliation and his exaltation as well. He is now living in the glories of heaven. Angels are worshiping him. The saints are worshiping him. He receives all praise and glory. He's called the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Dear friends, I mentioned to you 1, 2, 3. And I want to tell you, what is the three? It is his three offices. His three offices. He is prophet, priest, and king. He is our prophet. He speaks to us. He is our king who rules over us. He is our priest who gave himself for us. So he's our prophet because he shows to us, he reveals to us the way of salvation perfectly. You want to know God? You want to know who he is? You want to know how to get right with him? Go to Jesus. Read his words. Go to his gospels. Read them again and again and again. Even if it is not making sense to you, even though you have 1,000 questions, read them again and say, Lord, teach thou me. Show me, Lord, yourself. You can pray. He's the prophet. He speaks to our hearts today. He's our priest because he himself is a sacrifice that takes away our sins. But also now he's interceding as the great high priest. He intercedes, he prays for us, and he brings us to God. So there is somebody. Maybe you might say, nobody prays for me. Well, Jesus Christ is. The Lord Jesus is for his people, and he's our king. Because we weren't always on his side, you know. We weren't always in his kingdom, you know. The best of people, the most saintliest Christian was born in the kingdom of darkness. Was born as a child of the devil. The Lord Jesus Christ rescued him. The Lord Jesus Christ came as a great king. He comes and he saves his people. That's what the name of Jesus is, the Savior. The Lord, the Savior. And so it is. We trusted in him, and he conquered our hearts. And now we are kept by him, protected by him. We are living under his government. And this extraordinary Christ says this promise to us. Lo, he says. That's the first one. Lo. And then he says, I. Lo, I am. That's the second point. Lo, I am. He says, I am with you. Why didn't the Lord Jesus Christ says, I'll be with you? Why does it say, I am? I am with you. Why doesn't it say, I shall be with you? I will be with you. Whatever choice you might take. It's always easier to say it, isn't it? I will. I will be. Why didn't Jesus say that? Why didn't Jesus say, I'll be with you? Because if he said so to you, some of you children, you can be quite stubborn. I'm sure you would say the same. I can be very stubborn. When I don't want to do something, I'll make sure that I'll just go literally by what my parents used to say. So they would say to me, do this, and I would exactly do that particular thing, even though I know what they meant. But I'm not going to do what they said. So you know what I'm talking about. And so I would say, well, you never said that to me. And they said, well, you knew what I meant when I said that to you. My friends, we can do the same things with God, but the Lord Jesus wouldn't let us. to do that with him. And you see, some people could say, well, he said, I will be with you. If he said that, I will be with you, he might mean that from right now till the time that he comes, he won't be here with me. He will leave me for a time, for a period of time. But he says, no, don't get this wrong. He says, I am with you, he says. He's not saying, I won't be with you, and then I will be. The Lord Jesus Christ used what we call the perpetual present or continual present. So he's saying, whatever the present is, I am with you. I am. There's no gap. There's no something to look forward to. This is something which starts and now will never finish. Lo, he says, I am. And he says, I am with you. That's my third point. So the third point is this, with you, with you. Lo, I am with you. With who? With who? Well, Peter is a disciple, isn't he? Jesus called him. Why are James and John and Andrew disciples? Well, Peter called, the Lord Jesus Christ called him. Or called them. Why is Matthew there? Why is he saying, I am with you? Matthew, Levi, the tax collector. He is a disciple. Jesus called him. Nathaniel, he was a disciple. Jesus called him. All these people. Jesus said, I am with you. With you, my disciples. With you who have come to know me. With you whom I have called. And the question is for you, dear friends, are you a disciple of the Lord Jesus? Why? If you are a true disciple, well, Jesus Christ called you. If you look at the epistle to the Romans, you'll notice twice in the first chapter, the Apostle Paul makes it plain that the Lord Jesus Christ called him. And he called him to know him. He called him to serve him. And what makes a Christian different from a non-Christian is that the Savior calls you. The Savior calls you, transforms you. You become His disciple. Now, there was a time in February, 24 years ago, in a day on February 1999, I was not a Christian when I got up one morning. I was under conviction of sin. I was not a happy man. During that period of time, from 1997 to that February 1999, I was reading my Bible, and the more I read it, I was feeling awful. And I felt horrible. Half of it I didn't understand, but the parts that I did understand make me feel awful. But you know, that morning, I don't know what date it was, exact day it was, but God was working in me. But I know that one day, I got up with this load of, heavy load of sin and guilt. I'm feeling so awful, but that evening, as I read the words of John, or the words of Jesus recorded in the Gospel of John, suddenly my eyes were opened. I came to realize, no, Jesus Christ is the only Savior. He will save me if I call upon Him. He did love me, and He does love me, and He will love me if I call upon Him. And I was reading and listening to a friend of mine, another minister friend who said this about his conversion. He said, I went into chapel building as a non-Christian and determined to remain a non-Christian. Something happened. I couldn't close my heart to Jesus Christ any longer. Something happened. It happened as the word was being preached. I just couldn't close my heart to Jesus anymore. Shortly after that, I was taught a chorus to sing, and this is how it went. I heard the call, come, follow. That was all. Earth's joys grew dim. My soul went after him. That's amazing, isn't it? The experience of true Christians. Something happened. I'm won over by Jesus Christ. It's not me winning Christ. It's him working in my heart. The Christian life is not just about believing a certain lot of sort of propositions, doctrines. and behaving according to a sort of a set code or set rules. It's an encounter with Jesus Christ. It's a transformation. Being born again, Jesus said. Something happens. He calls you. You can't close your heart to Him anymore. You have tried to in the past, but then you now come to know Him. You now come to love Him. You now approach Him. You think to yourself, why was I so blind before all these years? And you might have many regrets, my dear friends. You might have, you look back and say, what a fool I was. I look back in my life and see this. But then when Jesus Christ opened your eyes to these things, you say, I can't stop now. I can't deny Him anymore. I will approach Him. Dear friends, then the sinner would come and worship the Savior, would worship Him. You won't turn back. I was going to say you never turn back. There are things that happens in a Christian's life that we can backslide. We can go back. We can become cold. But you see, the fact that now we are in the kingdom of the Lord Jesus Christ, He comes after us. He chases after us. And because He loves us. And He brings us in His own way back to Himself. So if Jesus Christ chases after you and you feel at times chastised, that's a good thing. The Lord is bringing you back. The Lord is bringing back or dragging you back. You see, dear friends, the Christian is now a servant of the Lord Jesus, a child of God. Christ is our life, we say. That's who promised. The promise is made to you, He says. Lo, I am with you, He says. But how can this be? Lo, I am with you. Because shortly He's going to ascend. After this, He was going to go up to heaven. You read that in the book of Acts. There's no physical presence of the Lord Jesus Christ anymore. How can He keep His promise? Well, you're given the answer, of course, in the Gospel of John in chapter 14. The Lord Jesus Christ said, and I'm paraphrasing here, He says, I'm going to go away. And yet I'm not going to go away. You're so sad because I told you I'm going to go away. But I'm actually not going to go away. I'm going away, but there is another comforter who is going to come to you after me. And then He says this, I'm not going to leave you comfortless. I will come unto you, He says. What is He talking about? What's He saying about is the work and the ministry of the Holy Spirit of God. In history, often Christians have talked about the Holy Spirit, the second person of the Holy Trinity, as Jesus' other self. There's this person in the Godhead who makes Jesus Christ real to us. He shows us who Jesus Christ is. He makes Jesus Christ precious to us. He gives us an appetite for the Lord Jesus. He shows us our sin and convicts us of sin. But He enables us and He persuades us to grieve over our sins and truly be sorry. And He enables us to come to Jesus. And in coming to Jesus, well, actually, Jesus Christ is coming to us. The Good Shepherd is coming to us. That's what it is. It's mysterious. It's amazing. It's a miracle that is taking place. But it's godly. It's spiritual. It's supernatural. It's totally other. It's different. Jesus Christ, dear friends, calls us and holds us and He indwells us and makes Himself known to us by His Holy Spirit. And this promise, I am with you always, is true. I am with you always. So I'm taking it word by word. So we have now reached point four. He says, I am with you. And then always, He says, always. We have it here as always in the old phrasing. It's always. And if you were to look it up in a dictionary, it literally is saying all the days. All the days, literally. Don't you like that? Always. All the days. I am with you all the days, He says. Now, we have different sorts of days. The apostles had different sorts of days. It didn't become a happy time for them after Jesus Christ left them. Yes, they experienced revivals. They experienced great and amazing things. But all the apostles, except John, they lost their lives. They were persecuted. They were tormented. But the Lord Jesus Christ was with them in those days that they lived. We have different sorts of days. You have days that is full of joy and your mind is so full of praise and the Lord has unburdened your heart. And you feel His presence. That He's there with you. You have days that it's easy to witness of the Lord Jesus Christ to other people. And you realize that words are coming to you. And you're being helped to bear witness of the Lord Jesus Christ. You have ever had a day like that? You have days that you're actually enjoying the Bible. And you're really drinking it all in. And it's making sense to you. You're understanding things that you didn't understand before. You're in a time of prayer and your prayers flow. You feel you can tell God anything. You can tell Him everything. You unburden your soul to Him and you think, this is amazing. God is so good to me. The Lord is there with me. I'm sure you've had experiences like that, you Christians. You've had days that your heart is singing. It's ringing with His wonderful message. You are so amazed at the good news that has come to you. And whatever surprises you, whatever things happens to you, you're still full of joy. Well, in those situations, you can, it's easy to say, the Lord is with me. Lord, I am with you, He said. And so I'm so happy to have the Lord Jesus Christ. But then you might say to yourself, well, yesterday it wasn't a very good day. You might say, well, I felt really burdened with all sorts of things. I was so fed up yesterday afternoon. I'm sorry about that. But do you have days like that? You're just full of all sorts of things and all kinds of questions and doubts and fears. Then there comes a friend or a call comes. You begin to read something. You begin to chat with someone about the goodness and the grace of God and the burden is lifted. Or you go and you go for a walk in God's creation and you are looking at different things and you're amazed and you're thanking God. You're experiencing the, not at this time, but sunshine on your skin, or you experience the wind that blows and hits you and you think, this is amazing. This is part of God's creation. And you say, God is good. God is kind. And so the burden that you've had turns into joy. And it was easy to believe then yesterday that of this promise. It was easy. But then you have days that everything is too much. You have days that everybody around you seem to be so difficult. You have family members, you have friends, you have people, colleagues, they're aggressive towards you. They're obstinate. And just because they don't understand where you're coming from, because they can't understand what the Christian life is about. I'm sure you get days like that. Things happen that is just so contrary to what you had hoped, and your hopes are dashed into pieces, and you're so disappointed. You have days like that. You have days that you feel so lonely. What's happened? You're asking yourself a question. What has happened? You have days that you're unwell. Days that you're afraid. You have days that even you don't know whether if you are a true believer in Jesus Christ. There are days that you say to yourself and thoughts come to your mind and say, oh, so what? And you go ahead and sin. You regret it afterwards, but do you have days like that? Do you have days in your life where things happen and you say, I just don't understand what the Lord is doing with me? Or days that you have decisions to make and you're confused, you don't know which way to turn to. You say, what am I going to do? Lord, help me. And in those times, there may be silence. Do you have days when you're in danger? Days that you are shedding tears, and their tears are real, and they sting your cheeks as you shed those tears. And of course, the worst kind of tears are the tears of shame and guilt. Do you have days like that? Sure, you can say, yes, I have. I have days like that. I have had days when I've been wronged, and when I've been cheated, and when I've been insulted. But the promise is this. It is in those days that the promise is this. Lo, I am with you always. All the days, he says. I'm with you all those days. Always. Those disciples needed that promise, didn't they? They're going out to evangelize the world. They're going to preach this gospel of Jesus Christ. They need courage, don't they? They're going out to an aggressive, obstinate, unbelieving world. They need comfort. They need to know that the Lord is going to be with them. And also even the apostles were tempted with sin. But then you remember that He is with you. The eternal Son of God is with you and in you. That puts a real restraint on sin. The promise actually leads you to holiness. So the Lord Jesus Christ says, Lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. And the fifth point is this, unto the end of the world. Unto the end of the world. People talk about the end of the world. But the Bible and the Lord Jesus talk about the end of this world as a time of this world, the age of this world. Because actually the world is not going to an end in that sense. The world, as the scripture teaches us, is going to be burnt in a fire. It's not going to end suddenly. It's going to be burnt up. What are these activists going to do? With all their worry about the global warming and such things. But it's going to end up very differently to what people are saying to us today, that's the way the world is going to end. You see, there is going to be a new heaven and new earth. It's going to be, this world is going to be remade, remolded. We shall live in those new heavens and on that new earth. That's how the world will end. Which is very different to the threats that we receive day by day. That's the end of the world. But it's not the end of everything, dear friends. There is going to be a new world, new age. There is a new heavens, a new earth. There's an eternal city in which dwells righteousness. There's an eternity ahead of us. But until we get there, we are in this world, and Jesus says to us, I am with you. On every single day, the Lord Jesus says, I'm going to be with you every single day. I won't be going away from you. I will never leave you nor forsake you, the Lord Jesus Christ says, until the end of the world. And thereafter you will be with me and you will know me more than ever before. My friends, the world is a terrifying thing, I think. The news that comes to us from the mainline news or propaganda machines, like the BBC and ITV and the many papers that you look to, are more giving opinions, as I've often said, than real journalism and news. But they're always trying to put you in the state of fear. Because then that also leads to control. There are people who say, I don't want to know anymore. I don't want to listen to anything anymore. I don't want to know what's going on around the world, even in my community, in my country. People are frightened. They'd rather not know. But the great, great, momentous things that are happening in this world, every week there's something is happening. Leaders die, leaders come, wars begin, wars end. So many changes are constantly happening around us. And we don't know what will happen to us in the coming year. We don't know what's going to happen to us in this world. We don't know the new laws that are going to come in to restrict our freedoms or sexualize our society evermore, or laws about life and death and who can live and who can't live. Then there's a world where there is floods, as there are now, earthquakes, as there are now, droughts and winds and cold and heat and pandemics and ambulances don't come. And you hear people who have been gunned down in London or in Nottingham, dead. what's going on in this world. What's happening around us? What's happening in our lives? And that's why I think I need this promise. That's why the reason why I'm preaching it this morning to you. The Lord says, lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the world, he says. I don't know what's happening. I don't know sometimes the solutions. I don't know the answers to things. What is the solution to this? This is too complicated for me. But what I know is this. The Lord Jesus Christ is with me. What I know is this, that he will not leave me. He's promised to me, lo, underline this, look at this. I who died for sinners like you, I who called you, I who saved you, all I who will protect and provide for you, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. That's what I know. And that's what I'm trusting in. Not in myself, not in other people, not in higher powers, but in the Lord Jesus Christ, who has gone ahead of me to heaven. And then that final word, amen. Amen. Matthew writes this right at the end. Amen, he says. Amen. The Lord Jesus Christ has promised this. And he says, amen. If you have a modern Bible, even though it's in most of the Greek manuscripts, that word amen is oftentimes removed. It's a wonderful word. Amen. It's the name of Jesus Christ. He says in the book of Revelation that he is the amen. What does amen mean? He says oftentimes in the scriptures, he says, verily, verily, I say unto you. That word verily or truly, it is that same word. Amen, amen, he says, I say to you. He says, what I have said is true. You can depend your life on it. You can trust me, he says. And Matthew says, I do. I trust you, Lord. And so he says, amen. I am trusting in the Lord. He is that amen. Every promise in this book is mine. And amen and amen. Dear friends, you've heard the words of this text. I've tried to explain them to you and apply it to you. Would you meditate on it each day? Would you just take it to your heart and say, this is what the Lord Jesus Christ has done for me in giving his life, in shedding his blood for me. Now he's risen on high in heaven, and he says, by the power of his Holy Spirit, he will be with me always, even unto the end of the world. So whatever comes my way, Jesus is with me. Wherever your ship goes, Jesus Christ is on board. He's the captain of our salvation, the Bible says. And you can say at the beginning of the day, amen is with me. At the end of the day, you can say, amen. God has been good to me. He has been with me. I have not been alone. And to the end of this world, he will not forsake me. May God then bless these words upon our hearts. Let's pray. O Lord our God, we thank thee this morning for this promise of the Lord Jesus. We cannot really fully take it in, yet we know the one who has loved us so graciously. He has had compassion upon this multitude. He has had compassion upon us. And O Lord, have thy compassion upon us who are so ignorant, so foolish, so selfish. We pray that the Lord Jesus Christ would apply these words to every one of us, and for us to know these things by experience, day by day. We pray for our unbelief, and ask that thou would forgive us for our unbelief, for the fact that we worry so much, for the fact that we forget these words, and we pray that we might know thee, and help us throughout this day then to meditate upon these truths and give Jesus Christ the glory. And we ask these things in his precious name. Amen.